Our colleague Greg Zuckerman has been covering the stock market for over two decades. But earlier this month, he saw the market do something that didn't make sense. It started after Hertz, the rental car company, filed for bankruptcy.
Hertz, the second largest car rental company in the country, filed for Chapter 11 reorganization today.
Hertz was burdened with debt. Coronavirus had destroyed demand for its rental cars. The company was hanging on by a thread. But its share price started climbing. Here's Greg.
Hertz wasn't just staying afloat, the shares. They weren't just rising in value. They were soaring on a daily basis. We're talking 10, 20, 30% a day.
Hertz, a bankrupt company, was one of the best performing stocks on Wall Street. And it wasn't the only seemingly worthless company that was surging.
There are all kinds of companies that are in bankruptcy, like Pier 1 Imports, and companies that are close to bankruptcy. Chesapeake Energy is an example. And yet those stocks, including Chesapeake, have been skyrocketing in value. So, yeah, it jumped out at me. It was confounding, perplexing. It was something that needed to be explained and examined.
Tons of people were buying stock in bankrupt companies. But who? The answer, Greg learned, was individual investors, many of them new to the market, with a huge appetite for risk.
I was watching Hertz, and every single day, it was like I was just clicking on it, and I was like, I have to buy this, I have to buy this.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Wednesday, June 17th. Coming up on the show, why regular people are jumping into stocks right now, making a wild market even wilder.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
It's only June, and already this year, the stock market has seen two seismic shifts. The first was easy to understand. In March, the stock market took a historic nosedive, pushed over a cliff by the coronavirus. More than 30% of the stock market's value was wiped out in a matter of weeks.
There was real fear about the future, the nation's future, the global economy's future. And frankly, there was a moment or two, I remember an evening when I went to bed, when I was nervous the market just would not operate the next day.
This was in mid-March, and Greg was nervous because it looked like the economic crisis caused by the virus might be morphing into a financial crisis, too. Credit markets, where companies go for short-term loans, looked like they might seize up. But then the Federal Reserve stepped in.
The Federal Reserve and the government were very active in terms of pumping money into the system, helping markets stabilize. So that's part of the reason why the market started bottoming out and turning around.
The turnaround began March 23rd after the Fed took action. And after Congress passed a $2 trillion stimulus package, the markets kept going up. That was the second seismic shift of the year. After a historic drop, a historic rally. That all made sense to Greg. But then
a new leg was seen. New leg took place where we weren't just going up, but we were surging.
And the best performing stocks were the ones you'd expect to be plummeting. Hertz, Pier 1, Chesapeake Energy, all companies that are barely surviving. This was that mystery that Greg and his colleagues set out to solve. And when they started looking into it, they realized that it wasn't some tricky hedge fund that was driving the trend. It was your everyday, average retail investor.
The way people on Wall Street describe retail, it's the average Joe who has a regular job. They're not from the world of finance generally. They're your average individual investors.
Just your everyday person.
Exactly.
One particularly visible set of investors jumping in right now are people who normally bet on sports. Greg says a guy named Dave Portnoy is basically the poster child for this trend. Portnoy founded Barstool Sports, a website that caters to sports fans and sports bettors. But with no sports to watch, let alone bet on, Portnoy turned to another form of entertainment.
He started trading recently, and he is very vocal about it.
Calling himself Davey Day Trader, Portnoy has started posting long videos on social media. In them, he talks about his best trades and rags on Wall Street pros to his millions of followers.
The pinstripe suits, the mismatched collars, they like to take their clients' money and be like, we know what we're doing. Buy, sell, this, that. No, it only goes up.
Basically, he's telling his followers to buy, to buy, to buy, to buy. Market only goes up.
That's why you never take money off the table till you're dead.
This approach to trading can feel jarring to a lot of people, even offensive, especially right now. Tens of millions of Americans are out of work. People are worried about finding their next job or even their next meal. But Greg says it's not just bored sports fans like Portnoy who are doing this. A lot of people do still have jobs and more time on their hands.
Online brokers are just being flooded with new customers. About 1.2 million of these kind of retail clients have started accounts at Fidelity, and that's just between March and May.
That's up almost 80% from the same period last year.
You're seeing that kind of surge at other places too. TD Ameritrade is another one, Robinhood. So you're seeing lots of people, thousands of people, sign up for new accounts and start trading.
And there's evidence that they're trading pretty actively, tweaking their investments day after day.
TD Ameritrade, for one, says they're averaging 3.5 million client trades a day, and that's about four times as many as June a year ago. So there is some indication, some proof that they are more actively trading.
One of those new investors is Ty Gohn.
I am a salesman here in the Bay Area. I work in construction, and I'm 23 years old.
Ty says he didn't trade much before the pandemic, just $100 or so a few years ago. But he's been thinking about getting into the market in a big way for a long time.
I remember when I was younger, you know, the whole entire Bitcoin craze. You know, I really wanted to take advantage of that opportunity back when Bitcoin was $800. And then it flew up to $20,000 and I was punching myself in the arm because I never went in.
But when the pandemic hit and stocks fell and then started turning around, Ty saw an opportunity to buy the dip.
The biggest thing that drew me in was Delta, how it was already doubled and almost doubling in price. And I kind of just saw in general that things were kind of coming up. And I felt like I waited enough time to see the pullback and then started to see the incline. And I said, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot and see how things play out.
Like a lot of new investors, Ty turned to a trading app called Robinhood, an online brokerage that lets users make trades for free. And he started small, just $1,000 at first, then $2,000. But pretty soon, he was ready to go bigger. Ty would eventually use Robinhood to put almost $50,000 into the market, most of his entire life savings. That seems like quite a bit of money for a 23-year-old.
It is a tremendous amount of money. And, you know, to be putting that much into the stock market when it's the majority of your savings is a pretty risky move. I was like, I have to be okay with losing half of this minimum and, like, worst case scenario, all of it. So I literally have to pretend like it's no longer with me. And that was my mentality going in.
Ty's first big stock play was Tesla. Tesla is owned by Elon Musk, who also owns SpaceX. And Ty knew that SpaceX had a big launch coming up. For the first time, a rocket made by a private company was taking American astronauts into orbit. Ty figured if the launch went well, it could be good publicity for Tesla, too.
1, 0, ignition, liftoff of the Falcon 9.
I initially purchased Tesla for about $820 a share and then like jumped to $900. So made a little return over there and then Hertz came along.
Hertz. Ty was about to go big on an even riskier bet. That's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Ty had been eyeing Hertz for a while before he made his big play. After the company declared bankruptcy in May, its stock had fallen to 40 cents a share, down from about 20 bucks in February. But Ty's theory was that that was too low. He thought that the type of bankruptcy that the company was in meant the stock had a good chance to go back up. Plus, Ty says he's always loved the brand.
I've always rented cars from Hertz, and I always kind of felt like that was the company that I preferred over Enterprise and all the other companies. They just had the best service.
Ty thought that Hertz's stock price would rise. And after some ups and downs, it did start to climb, up to $1.20 and then higher. And that's when Ty jumped in. How much did you buy when it was at that price?
So I went all in on that one. So I invested about $50,000 and some change into that stock.
Ty invested that money in Hertz during his lunch break while ordering a spinach feta wrap at Starbucks. And you made this purchase on Robinhood while you were at Starbucks?
Yeah, like on my phone. And then just went on my day as if like nothing happened.
Did you tell your family or your friends about what you were doing? And if so, how did they react?
I told my brother, but I didn't tell my mom. I told her that I started investing. I didn't give her specific numbers.
He didn't want her to talk him out of it.
When you have just this gut feeling and it's something that's like, you know, it's calling for you almost. Like I was watching Hertz and every single day it was like I was just clicking on it and I was like, I have to buy this. That at that point, you know, don't look left or right. Just do what you got to do.
Ty went to bed that night feeling confident. In the next morning, he woke up to find Hertz's stock price had doubled. He says that he was so shocked, he sold his shares the minute the market opened. How much did you make off of that one trade on Hertz?
So off that one single trade was about $47,000.
Wow. So what did your mom say when you finally told her what had happened?
She called me an idiot. She was like, that's stupid. Like, how could you even put that much money into it? And then like 10 seconds later, she's like, and then how come you couldn't even tell me? I would have invested with you. And
Hertz's stock ultimately shot up over 1,000% from its low, powered by investors looking for the same eye-popping return that Ty got. Clearly, Ty wasn't the only one out there with an appetite for risk. Greg, why should anybody care that these people are doing this?
I think people should care for a few reasons. A, it gives a little insight into why markets are going up lately. Again, we had a first leg, which was more rational, I would argue. It was understandable why markets were going higher. Now we're in a new leg in which riskier companies are the ones going up the most. And generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, when the market is being led by flimsier companies, that's not a sign of health for the overall market.
Flimsier companies like Hertz skyrocketing in value might not be a good sign for the overall market's health. But these stocks aren't the reason for the entire market's ups and downs. Individual investors like Ty make up just a part of the overall market's activity. But Greg says retail investors are a factor in the volatility that we're seeing right now.
I would argue that when there's more speculation, the overall market becomes riskier. The reason being that when the market shifts to speculators as opposed to long-term investors, those speculators are more likely to get out than the long-term holder, to run for the hills. So that's why we had last week, I would argue, a drop of 1,800 points in the Dow Industrial Average in one day. It wasn't solely because of these types of investors by any stretch of the imagination, and there was some news to explain it. But these people are much more likely to cut and run for the hills.
But Ty isn't running for the hills, at least not yet. He's all in.
Right now, I'm in Tesla for about $150,000.
Wow.
Because I'm using 50% margin that I'm allowed to borrow from Robinhood.
So you're borrowing even more money to be into the market.
Yeah.
Ty says the lesson he's taking away from his Hertz trade...
When you see opportunity and you're able to take advantage of it, go for it. Because at the end of the day, you never know when it's going to come back again.
That's all for today, Wednesday, June 17th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Thanks to Misha Frankel-Duvall for his reporting on this story. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.